Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. What is the gospel? According to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel is embodied in these words, found in the Word of God, the Bible. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins." My God, help us to understand. Give us deep wisdom into this, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. I am adding on another verse that lets you know where my heart is and what I'm striving to do by the grace of God. And I'm trying to encourage other preachers, other evangelists, other pastors to do. And that is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." That's where I'm at. I have no interest in talking to you about anything else but Jesus Christ dying on the cross for your sins, being buried, and rising again. You may be seated. Holy Father God, make your holy gospel, your holy good news, plain for the lost sinner. And I thank you, Lord, that I am not preaching to a church full of saints. That is not what you want me to do. You want me to proclaim the gospel in regions beyond where it has already been established, and you have set me up perfectly as you set Paul up even when they thought they were stopping him and they put him on house arrest, and he continued to preach the gospel to everybody around him. And so, Lord, we pray, we praise you, and we thank you for the means that we have today, 2,000 years later, to proclaim your holy gospel live and on demand in 100 languages around the world. And we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved. We thank you for those who have been saved already. We pray for 3 million Christians to fall under the power of your Holy Spirit and to be revived again and to get back to that sunshiny first love in the beginning of their relationship with you. And we pray that you would work a divine miracle and provide every dime of the funds to spread the gospel across the world and to help indigenous pastors who are crying out for our help. And Lord, you know who they are, and we pray that until we can get there, that you would send help before we get there. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, R.C. Sproul said, "There is no greater message to be heard than that which we call the gospel." Amen, somebody. But as important as that is, it is often given to massive distortions or oversimplifications. People think they are preaching the gospel to you when they tell you you can have a purpose to your life. That is not the gospel, my beloved. And I'm adding that point. Or that you can have meaning to your life. That is not the gospel. And I love my dear pastor brethren, but we have many pastor brethren who are Bible believers who have been slipped a Mickey by the devil and using everything as bait to get people into the church and on the church rolls, and they're not getting fish who are saved, who are born again. They're coming in on this kind of stuff. I want to have a happy life. I want to have a happy wife. I want to have a purpose for my life. And they never trust Christ as Savior. They never receive the gospel which I just read to you, that Jesus Christ died for your sins. We've got to talk about that sin problem. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ died. He did not die for you to have some great purpose in life. He did not die for you to be happy. He did not die for you to have a happy wife, man. He died because of your ugly, wicked, ungodly sins and mine. Obviously, those sins that we do in the black and dark night, that we do when everybody has left from the job but you, who you and your secretary, who you have conveniently kept busy till 5:45. Nobody knows it, you think. You sexual harasser, you. You adulterer, you. You know she's married, but you still want some. You know he's married, but you still want to get him. You're his boss, and you take advantage. And obviously, people are just grabbing people's genitals today just because they want it. People have lost their righteous minds if they ever had a righteous mind. My God, my God. That's what Jesus died for. To save you from the hell that produces. Because if Judge Roy Moore does not truly trust Christ as Savior and repent, he's going to hell. If Harry Weinstein does not trust Jesus Christ and repent, he's going to hell. If Kevin Spacey does not trust Christ and get saved and repent of his wicked, demonic, evil ways, he's going to hell. He needs to trust Christ to cover all. They all need to trust Christ. We all need to trust Christ, because if George H.W. Bush is grabbing people's behinds, you know we done some things. Amen, oh me. Amen, oh me, up in here. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if you old and you still grabbing the folks behind, you're 90-something years old, you know that if you don't trust Christ as Savior, you're going to hell, sure enough. Jesus died for our sins. Not just our weaknesses, our sins, our failures, our faults, but a credit to President George H.W. Bush and Louis C.K. They said, I'm wrong, I apologize. Thank God at least those two had enough sense to apologize and acknowledge their evil. But we got some devils in the church. We got some preachers who won't acknowledge their sins, their sexual harassment, their lust that they have in their hearts. They tell lies and try to make people think that they're holier than thou, and they're not. But if you're not careful, God is getting ready to pull the curtain back on the church again. Jesus Christ, my beloved, died for our sins to save our soul from the hell that sin produces. Back to the quote. People think they're preaching the gospel to you when they tell you you can have a purpose to your life. Oh, that sounds so sweet. Or that you can have meaning to your life. Or that you can have a personal relationship with God. All of those things are true. And they're all important. But they don't get to the heart of the gospel. You say, well, preacher, what is the heart of the gospel? I just read it to you. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. I believed it myself. I received it myself. I was born again myself. So I know what I'm talking about. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Your sins. My sins. And that he was buried because he really died. And that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That is the gospel for you. Have you ever received that, dear friend? Have you ever trusted Christ as Savior who died on the cross for your sins? Was buried and rose again according to the Holy Word of God? Has there ever been a time in your life you have repented of your sins and trusted Christ as Savior? If not, that time for you could be today. If you want it to be. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are sinners, from the Pope on down, from Billy Graham on down, from T.D. Jakes on down. Whoever you think is a great man of God, he is a sinner. He is wicked as hell, just as you are. And he would go to hell if he had never trusted Christ as Savior. None of us can get to heaven without good works. None of us can get to heaven by being a preacher, or by being a church member, or by being a deacon, or doing nice things like helping old people across the street, or feeding people on Thanksgiving down at the mission. Secondly, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There is an eternal punishment for sin. And you know it is. It's all around us in our society. People commit a crime, they must pay for it. What do we tell criminals? Do the crime, do the time. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There's no good thing in sin. I don't care what it is. It might be pleasurable for a season, for a moment, but that's it. Then you have guilt. After the sex outside of marriage is over, you're sitting on the side of the bed wondering whether or not you have AIDS or you have herpes or if you're pregnant or both. Then you go home with that guilt. And you make statements like, I'll never do that again until I get married. Guilt. Guilt. Thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell because of sin. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a place of torment and pain and gnashing of teeth. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. You know why? Because he died. He suffered. He was humiliated before the world. He was whipped beyond recognition. He was a bloody mess for you and for me because of our wicked sins. Yes, our adultery, our fornication, our lust, our wicked desires for that which does not belong to us. Our stealing and robbing, our murder and killing, our lying and dishonesty and deceit. The bloody mess that he was on the cross, that's the picture of how nasty and wicked our sin is. God in the flesh died for you and for me. And so hell, you must go if you don't trust Christ in the sacrifice he made on the cross for you and me as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Your sins and mine. You say, preacher, I believe I better go ahead on and trust this man named Jesus, the God-man, as my Savior. How can I do it? I'm glad you asked. Jesus Christ said to you and to me in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you and that's me, we're in this world, that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ. He was speaking of himself. God can do that. That whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody at any time. There's no other word like it in the English language. Believeth in him, that is, trusts in Jesus, receives him as Savior, believes on him, should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life with God in heaven. That's good news, dear friend. This is the gospel in a nutshell. So, beloved, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to come into your heart and save your soul. And he will save you. I believe that you're believing that right now. And I will help you with what is called the sinner's prayer, the asking of God to save your soul because of your faith and trust in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior right now, and you're willing to pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul, I'll be glad to lead you in that prayer as someone led me, as millions more have been led in a simple prayer that they have never prayed before. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God in heaven, I thank you for loving me and doing what you have done for me. I come before you today acknowledging that I am a sinner and that I have broken some of your Ten Commandments, if not all of them. I've dishonored my parents. I've been a liar. I've been a thief. And I have lusted after people and things that I should not have coveted. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and shed his blood and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Help, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to turn from my old life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, beloved, if you trusted Christ as your Savior today, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say a big congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other many emails on our multiple platforms and let us know. We have some free material that Evangeline or Elizabeth will send to you almost immediately if you contact them to help you grow in the faith. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well. And we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. We pray for hundreds of people, and we'll be glad to pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good.